Bah!
Got a little jetpack talk in there. Got a little sassy stat action in there. Game 7 is, thank you very much, by the way, for listening. We appreciate you tuning in. Thanks very much for migrating from Afternoon Drive to our new time slot, where we belong, middays every day, 1 to 4. And before we do anything, John, I want to remind people that we are giving away a brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30. Pay attention to everything we say today. It could be on the quiz Friday at 3:15. Question from Monday, question from Tuesday, question from today, tomorrow, Friday. If you win, if you're the winner, you get a $100 gas card from somebody. I don't know. Somebody's giving you a $100 gas card. But the big thing is you get a key, one of only four, that could start that brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30. There are only going to be four keys, so you got a 25% chance of winning a new car if you win on Friday, and that's all courtesy of our friend John Patterson at OC Mazda, so pay attention to everything. Last night, a dramatic Game 7. There's nothing quite like a Game 7, John.
Man, they almost blew it. Denver would be getting absolutely hammered today had Mike Conley hit that shot.
Yep. And he didn't miss it by much.
It rimmed out. Yeah, the Nuggets won, I think it was 80-78. It was really low scoring.
Yeah, 80-78.
But at the end of the game, they stole the ball from Utah up two, and then Denver inexplicably shoots the ball.
Yeah.
Like, all they had to do was dribble it out, and the game was over.
8 seconds left, they shoot the ball.
And Utah immediately grabs the rebound, sends it down, and Mike Conley takes a three to win the game, and it rims out. So
all they had to do was run out the clock.
Yeah, congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. They have won a trip to get pounded by the Clippers in the
next
round.
You think pounded by the Clippers?
Clippers in five.
Clippers in five. Wow. I'll go Clippers in six. I think Denver's got a couple of games. I think Jamal Murray's got a couple of games in him. A couple of big ones. Then we're getting ready for tonight. Who are the Lakers going to play starting Friday in the Western Conference semifinals? We've got the Rockets versus the Thunder in Game 7. John, who do you like tonight?
Houston, big. I think Houston wins by double digits.
I think Houston is going to lose this game. I think the Thunder, if this game is close, and I think it will be, then I like the Thunder. They are 3-0 in this series in crunch time. They've won all three games that have gone down to the last 5 minutes within 5 points, and I think they'll win this one tonight. By the way, in crunch time, Houston 10 turnovers and Oklahoma City 5 turnovers. Oklahoma City is just really, really clutchy. And Chris Paul had just a phenomenal game 6 where he scored 15 points in the fourth quarter. So I'm going to go Thunder. I know it's an upset call, but I'm going to pick the Thunder to win.
Normally in these big game 7s and in these playoff series in general, the teams with the best players win.
Yep.
And there's two former MVPs on the Rockets, and they have the better coach. D'Antoni is just a better NBA coach than Billy Donovan is. And so I think just if everything plays out the way it should be, the Rockets should win. But wait, what you said is interesting about if it's close. The Rockets don't want this game to be close.
Right.
Because they have a tendency to wet the bed.
Well, here, let me throw you something which is interesting. This is a sassy stat. Since 96-97, when they started keeping playoff stats, field goal percentage in clutch time with players with at least 75 field goal attempts. Chris Paul shoots 46% in clutch time in the playoffs. That is fourth overall in the NBA. James Harden shoots 38%. That is 19th among qualified players. And Russell Westbrook is dead last among guys who have taken 75 field goal attempts or more in clutch time. In the last 25 years, he is shooting just 29% during the key critical moments of the game. And I think ultimately what you're seeing is teams are taking care of Harden and making Russell Westbrook shoot, and he's just not a good shooter.
Yeah, that's the heart of that point is Russ shouldn't be shooting. And you know, at the end of that game the other night, I think you blame D'Antoni because – you know, he gets some of the blame because he didn't insist that Harden bring the ball up. You blame Harden because he didn't even look engaged.
Yep.
And you blame Russ because, you know, one thing that...
Because he threw the ball away.
Well, and one thing Russ has been in the second part of this season is he's been a lot smarter. He hasn't been taking threes. He hasn't been making dumb turnovers. And the old Westbrook came back in game six. But in game five, the Rockets were up by 40.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I think tonight they probably get it done. And then that sets up Friday night, which is Lakers-Rockets.
Don't put the cart before the horse.
Oh, I'm putting the cart before the horse.
Put the cart before the horse.
It's Lakers-Rockets. Can I admit something?
Yeah.
Already started prepping for Lakers-Rockets.
Oh, have you? Oh, yeah. Oh no. Seriously?
Yeah. And I said, if OKC pulls it off, I'll go back and redo it.
And you've got nothing for OKC? You're not prepared for OKC at all?
No. I've seen them play three times this year, including once when the Lakers beat them in OKC without LeBron and AD.
Right.
So think about that. No LeBron, no AD, Lakers by 30.
Ancient history. Just ancient history, John.
Okay.
Long time ago. Teams playing differently now. Give me Oklahoma City plus the five. Give me $5,000 mythical dollars on Oklahoma City plus the five.
Wow.
Actually, no. I can get 5.5. Give me Oklahoma City plus 5.5. Thank you, Bovada, for that extra half point.
Well, I think that I have a thing. You know, I always say that in the back of my mind, I think I could open my own sports book.
Yep.
I would always do the point spreads at a half.
I don't know why you don't.
Either way.
Avoid the chance of a dead tie push.
Yeah, who wants a tie? The house doesn't want a tie. The bettor doesn't want a tie. Yeah,
nobody wants a push.
Nobody wants a tie.
Pushes are boring. So, so anyway, the great game tonight. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to an Oklahoma City victory. I'm going to put all my chips on OKC.
Well, I hope you're right. It's a better matchup for the Lakers, I think, if Oklahoma City wins. But I just think doesn't Harden have to show up tonight?
Well, Harden has to show up. He absolutely has
Unless
to show up.
Unless he wants Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni fired. Do you think that's possible?
But no matter what, this is legacy stuff. You don't want to be the guy that goes out in the first round. I mean, this is James Harden legacy stuff. Don't be the guy that goes out in the first round. Take over a game and win it. Do your flop-a-rama. Go ahead. Flop on all your three-point shots and get to the line a bunch. I mean, this is James Harden's game. I mean, James Harden will win or lose this game. I don't think it'll be Russ.
I think they're both going to play well. And I also think that the Rockets are going to take like 60 threes. I think they are going to carpet bomb the Thunder with threes.
I think there is no question about that. Through six games, John, no team has ever taken as many threes as Houston has in a playoff series. They are absolutely bombing. And that's what they do. That's what they do. And they can shoot the lights out and knock OKC out, but if it's a close game, give me OKC all the way.
All right.
I think Chris Paul is just really clutchy.
Can I change the subject and ask you a question?
Yeah, okay. Bring it on. So, bring it on.
We're going to get into this Aroldis Chapman story coming up here. In case you didn't hear about it, the Yankees are playing the Rays. And last night, Aroldis Chapman threw, including 101-mile-an-hour fastball right over the head of one of the Rays players. And Kevin Cash, the Rays manager, lost it. He said after the game, I got a bunch of these guys that can do this. But, Mace, here's my question. Aroldis Chapman threw at three different Rays.
Yes.
Including 101 directly over the head of the last guy.
Yep.
Okay, so they just announced suspensions. What do you think Aroldis Chapman got?
Well, it's unfair because I know.
Well, go ahead and answer it.
What do you get? Three.
How does he get three and Joe Kelly gets eight?
Yeah, it's a really good question.
Didn't they do exactly the same thing?
Wow, that is a good question. Yeah, what is the difference between what Aroldis Chapman did and what Joe Kelly did?
Nothing.
Joe Kelly
made a funny face. He got five extra games for a funny face.
Pouty face.
And the pouty face was funny.
Yeah, it was. It was great. There are memes of the pouty face.
I have the t-shirt.
Do you have the t-shirt? What's the t-shirt say?
Nice swing, B.
Exactly the quote from Joe Kelly after that. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to get to the Kevin Cash, Aroldis Chapman, Rays, Yankees thing coming up. But first, let's do an NFL stop. Connor Orr is going to join us next. He has got a surprising prediction about the defending NFC champion San Francisco 49ers. And a surprising prediction about the Rams. That's coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's right, people. We are what you need. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is a big Wednesday, getting ready for a big game seven between OKC and Houston tonight. The NFL season, it is unbelievable to me that we are on the cusp of the start of the NFL season. It starts 1 week from tomorrow on Thursday night. I talked to our boss, Amanda Brown, today. She says preparations all over the place for the Rams home opener, which is the 13th. She says it is unbelievably disappointing, having been in SoFi, unbelievably disappointing that fans will not get to experience what she says is like a great big gigantic pinball game. Gigantic video game. It looks so spectacular in there, but we will have to wait. We will have to wait.
Well, it just because you won't let fans in there doesn't mean that big things won't be happening. Connor Orr from Sports Illustrated, Mace.
Yep.
Is picking your Rams.
What?
To win 11 games this
what?
Year.
What? 11?
And Connor
That's
joins...
even more optimistic than me.
I know. And Connor joins us now. Connor, you don't realize the hope you gave Mason. Mason is the world's biggest Rams apologist. Not even he picked the Rams to win 11 games. Where'd you get 11 wins for the Rams? Not that we don't like it, but where'd you get 11 wins for the Rams?
Well, I think a lot of this is, it's a bet on coaching, right? Because
sure.
This offseason is going to be so bizarre and so truncated that you have to look at, okay, who has a prior and established relationship with their quarterback, who's comfortable in their offense, who has enough talent to hit the ground running, in something as unprecedented as this. And really, I would say it's as much a bet on Sean McVay as it is, you know, the talent on the field. And you can see that reflected, you know, we picked all 256 games, and you can kind of see that reflected across the board that if I'm leaning on anything right now, it's experience. It's, coaches who can be creative in difficult circumstances and, you know, people who I think might have a better chance of coming out of this with a decent product.
Boy, I'll tell you what, the NFC West, man, you've got Seattle at 12-4, the Rams at 11-5, Arizona 9-7, and the Niners 8-8. So two things. This has to be the best division in football, right? And how did the Niners fall to 8-8 in your mind?
So the Niners, you know, I'm just kind of almost following that Rams line of logic where, you know, and I got a lot of, you know, hate mail for that today, and I understand that. But at the same time, if I would have picked the Rams to miss the playoffs the year after they were in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, people would have said I was crazy. And I think that the 49ers have one of the best setups in football. I think this team is going to be good for a very long time. But two reasons I'm down on them. The first is that historically good defenses are difficult to maintain. We've seen that with Seattle, with Chicago, with, all these good defenses that we've seen over the last decade. They're difficult to keep together. And the second is it's just hard to make the playoffs again after you lose the Super Bowl, especially when you blow a lead in the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan knows that. And so I think that, you know, this might be just one of those years where they regress a little bit. And if you're looking for a third reason, everybody is running a version of Kyle Shanahan's offense now. His whole tree has been hired. It's been studied throughout the league. And there might be a little bit more difficulty in, executing some of those concepts next year.
We're talking to Connor Orr from Sports Illustrated. He has looked at every NFL game. Now, assuming these games go off as scheduled and we don't have any COVID conflicts, he's predicted 16 game records for every team in the league. And Connor, I got to admit, the one that surprised me the most wasn't the Rams. It was the Steelers. You have the Steelers going 13-3. Now, most everybody else I've seen run predictions has the Ravens winning that. You got the Ravens right behind him at 12-4, but has the Ravens like 13-3, 14-2. I read one prediction that had the Ravens going 15-1. Why'd you pick the Steelers over the Ravens?
I think that the Steelers right now have a more complete roster, and I think that we're underestimating a little bit how important it's going to be to have Ben Roethlisberger back. I mean, this was a team that finished 500 with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph as quarterbacks last year. I think that the addition of Minka Fitzpatrick and some of the things that they've done defensively makes them uniquely sort of posited to defend teams like Baltimore. I think that they're going to have a good chance. Remember, they played Baltimore really tough that first game a few weeks after the Minka Fitzpatrick trade. So I think that with more time in the system there, they're going to have a better chance at defending teams like the Ravens. And I just think that what Baltimore did last year was great. It took the league by surprise. And this is not a commentary on Lamar Jackson, but just on the league in general. That's really hard to sustain. They had so many built-in advantages because they were drafting smarter than anyone else for 3 to 4 years. And once that comes to fruition and everybody kind of sees what you're doing, the league gradually catches up. And I think that they're going to be still a great team, but maybe just not as good as they were last year.
Connor Orr from Sports Illustrated is with us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. I was surprised also by the fact that you've got the Chargers at 9-7. They announced that Tyrod Taylor will be the starting quarterback over Justin Herbert as of today. Now, with a transitional quarterback, I'm surprised that you've got the Chargers at 9-7. What are you seeing?
I see Tyrod Taylor being a good quarterback. I saw that during his first year in Buffalo. If you go by, you know, any of the kind of the efficiency metrics that they had, he was one of the best players in football that first year as a starter in Buffalo. And as the system sort of distanced itself from them and the Bills sort of distanced themselves from Tyrod, it got progressively worse from there. But this is a player that Anthony Lynn has wanted to work with for a long time, has the ability to work with and design an offense around. And so I think that this is going to be a good fit for them. I think that I don't want to see Justin Herbert if I'm a Chargers fan probably for a year. I would like Tyrod Taylor to get 16 games and then deal with the transition at that point. But I think that he was a good player back then and I think can still be at that level. Because what the last offense that we really saw him in at the professional level as a starter was with Hugh Jackson calling the plays. And so that's not really a good indicator of the cap on his skill set.
We're talking to Connor Orr from Sports Illustrated. Connor, if you made me look at all your predictions and bet them over under, I think the over under I would move on is I would pick Buffalo over. You have Buffalo finishing with a losing record. You've got them at 7-9. Most other people have them contending for the division title. Why 7-9 for the Bills in your mind?
Well, I will congratulate the Bills fans. I heard from more of you today by a multiple of 100 than any other fan base.
And I called that.
I respect the passion. I've made some in my DMs. I've made some chicken wing bets with a lot of you, so we've had some good fun with that. But I would say that their offense was so much outperformed itself to a level that I don't know you can sustain for a long term. And what I mean by that is, you know, Josh Allen was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league last year in expected completion percentage. He was completing far fewer passes than he should have. And that was the year that everyone was saying he's taking a step forward, he's growing, he's progressing. But I don't know if the numbers really bore that out. I think that he was playing better. There was a brilliant offense designed around him. But I don't know if, you know, all of that meant that he's an ascending quarterback. I don't trust him necessarily as sort of that that ascending sort of talent that we see. And so I think that the AFC East is going to get way harder to contend in. I think that the Miami Dolphins are going to be a really good team next year. They have a great secondary. I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to get them off the ground, and then they're going to do sort of that Alex Smith to Colin Kaepernick transition with Tua, which was very difficult for teams to stop in the middle of the year in game plan four. So I think there's just a lot of pitfalls for this team, no matter how good their defense might be.
Connor Orr is with us from Sports Illustrated. Connor, there's death, taxes, and the Raiders suck. John's Las Vegas Raiders now. You've got them at 5-11. What do you see for them?
Well, you know, this, again, was a tough division. I mean, you know, in a lot of these cases, it was like, you know, which team do you think is going to ascend to maybe that obvious second place, that obvious second place mantle? And certainly Las Vegas, the consideration is there. There's talent on the roster. But if I had to pick between what, you know, I see Anthony Lynn and what's going on over there with the Chargers, and between what John Gruden, what's going on there in Oakland, or in Las Vegas now, sorry. I just think that if I had to bet on one of those two, I'm taking the Chargers and their, you know, immediate kind of future. And, you know, this isn't to say that, you know, I thought the Raiders drafted particularly well this offseason. I think that they did well in sort of filling those positions of need, but not enough to me that it makes it obvious that, oh, okay, this team is absolutely ready to contend now.
Connor, last thing for me, it sounds like from, if I just based on your predictions, and you didn't really go deep into any playoff predictions that I saw, but it looks like you're thinking maybe Saints-Steelers in the Super Bowl, or are you thinking something else?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, they're going to be two of the better regular season teams this year. You know, that would be I would love to see that Super Bowl. I think that would be an excellent head coaching matchup. And certainly, you know, seeing Mike Tomlin's defense against Sean Payton's offense, I would love to see something like that. But you never know. I mean, this is going to be a weird season. You know, I think Tampa Bay, you know, 10 wins, and, you know, depending on how the tiebreakers wake up, they're maybe missing the playoffs. But, you know, that's a team that could be very easily in the mix because of Todd Bowles and their defense. Atlanta, I see getting better this year. Seattle is a team that I think could probably and should probably be in the Super Bowl conversation as well. So we're and you never know what's going to happen with New England. I mean, Cam Newton is the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. It's going to be a very, very weird season.
Last thing for you, COVID, the league just seems to be bulling their way through this thing. It seems to be working. Do you think that the NFL has, to whatever degree possible, solved the conundrum of dealing with the coronavirus while playing an NFL season?
Well, I think that we've seen, you know, everybody crediting these professional sports franchises, I think that we've seen the secret to it, and that's regular accurate testing, you know, and that's something that, like, we can all marvel at on the ground floor and say, oh, wow, they figured it out. But it's just that they have something that the rest of us don't have, which is access to a place where within a couple hours they can get an answer to a test and then behave accordingly. But that said, that they've made the financial commitment to do that. Good for them. They're able to do that. And so, yeah, hopefully the season goes off without a hitch. Hopefully, you know, everybody still takes this seriously after a few weeks if we don't have many positives. And, you know, it's not like baseball where we're stopping and starting every 5 minutes. And it's, you know, it's more difficult and maybe more trouble than it seems it's worth.
All right. Hey, listen, Connor, we appreciate you coming on very much. Appreciate the time. I particularly appreciate your prediction that the Rams are going to go 11-5. I love that. You have become quickly my favorite NFL writer, Connor. So thank you. Thank you for coming on.
It's an honor. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Connor. See ya. All right. 11-5. That's the most optimistic prediction about the Rams I've seen anywhere.
I'm 10-6.
I know. He's a game better than you, and you – you only see like rainbows and sunshine coming out of Rams camp. He's like Connor's looking at the whole league.
Yeah, no, he's played out every game. So I trust Connor. I put my trust in Connor. All right, coming up, let's get into this Aroldis Chapman thing. Last night, Aroldis Chapman, three throws, three pitches, narrowly missed guys. Including one that buzzed over a guy's head. He's been suspended three games today. Kevin Cash had some words after the game last night. We'll talk about that. And plus, he's suspended for a game. Aaron Boone is suspended for a game. We will get into all that coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah. 710 ESPN. What is going on? A lot is going on. Let me just solve that question for you. Game 7, Rockets Thunder tonight. Winner plays the Lakers starting Friday. Last night, great Game 7. Denver beat Utah. Desperation three-pointer. Wouldn't go for the Jazz. Eastern Conference semifinals. Boston has jumped on Toronto for a quick 2-0 lead. And the Dodgers are so good. So good. They doubled up on Arizona last night, 6-3. Six innings of one-run ball for Julio Urias. Same two teams tonight, Dodger Stadium. Walker Buehler returns from the IL. And last night, Yankees and Rays had a showdown. Aroldis Chapman threw at Michael Brousseau's head. And afterwards, Kevin Cash not happy.
Do we have the call, the Tampa radio call? Because even the announcers knew that what the Yankees were doing was a load of crap. Here's the call of the third time Chapman threw inside. This is on Tampa radio.
Rosso with an open stance, and the first pitch on its way. Look out, over his head. Are you kidding me? He's done that to all three batters now.
He's getting a little nuts.
And I was noticing Kevin Cash looking the way he was looking, and there's some barking now. Got to be kind of, but that's three straight up and in against the Rays hitters. Three straight up and in by Aroldis Chapman in this inning.
And by the way, that pitch was 101. And the Yankees are allowed to do it, but nobody else is.
Which is a fair point. When Joe Kelly did it, they threw the book at him, and then afterwards, Kevin Cash wasn't having it. Here's Cash, the manager of the Rays.
We've gone battles, and look, you're going to get some of this at the time when you're playing a short season with so many games, but it's absolutely ridiculous. It was mishandled by the Yankees, certainly the pitcher on the mound. It was mishandled by the umpires. They hit Joey Wendell intentionally in the first inning. It was clear as day. Chapman comes in, he throws three different balls up and in. I get it. They don't like being thrown up and in, but enough's enough. We're talking about 100 mile an hour fastball over a young man's head. It makes no sense. It's poor judgment, poor coaching. It's just poor teaching what they're doing and what they're allowing to do. The chirping from the dugout. I mean, somebody would have to tell me, go pull the numbers, who's hit who more. But I can assure you, other than the 3 years ago, there hasn't been one pitch thrown with intent from any of our guys, period. Somebody's got to be accountable. And the last thing I'll say on it is I got a whole damn stable full of guys that throw 98 miles an hour,
woo!
Period.
Period.
And that, Mace, that last phrase that he threw in there is why Kevin Cash got suspended for a game today.
Shouldn't have been suspended
at all. He doesn't say that, and I think they let him skate.
Yeah, but you know what? He's just telling the truth. I've got no problem with them saying that. Last thing I'll say on it is I got a whole damn stable full of guys that throw 98 miles an hour, period. You know what? When you've got Aroldis Chapman throwing at your guys, I think you're allowed to issue a warning and say, hey, we can all play this game. Let's not do it.
And Major League Baseball, which would screw up a ham sandwich, has already set a precedent. Joe Kelly did exactly the same thing. He threw 100 miles an hour behind Carlos Correa's head.
And it was exactly three batters, too.
And he didn't hit him.
Yep.
So fast forward to Chapman. He does, Mace, the exact same thing as
you
Joe
could say,
Kelly.
You could say that last pitch worse.
Well, it was same. Same as the one to Correa. 100 miles an hour over his head. Same exact thing.
Yeah.
And they give him three games. Kelly got eight and then appealed it and knocked it down to five. How is it not at least five? And why wasn't it originally eight?
Yeah,
what are they doing?
This is where you add that spit that goes along with the Astros. I think baseball was saying, hey, don't throw out the Astros. You're going to get eight games. And unfortunately, that precedent didn't continue for Aroldis Chapman. And because, by the way, I would argue that the Rays and Yankees are huge rivals now. They are huge rivals.
Yeah,
the Rays
are
lead the
ahead
Yankees.
Of them.
Yeah. The Rays lead the Yankees. So this is a real rivalry. And in a rivalry game, things get out of hand. I agree, by the way, with Kevin Cash that Aaron Boone should have done something. Aaron Boone got suspended one game. He should have done something. He's got a reckless pitcher on the mound. And I've said this many times, John. It is never and has never been okay or acceptable to throw at anybody's head or to bust somebody up and in with a chance of hitting him. I think I have no issue with baseball meeting out justice. It
Although
is a self-regulated system.
You argued for days that Joe Kelly shouldn't have been suspended.
I didn't think there was intent.
Right, but how do you measure it? I mean, if you...
Well, how do you measure it? How do you know Joe Kelly meant to do it?
By the way,
a couple of Joe Kellys were breaking balls. Two of Joe Kellys were breaking balls. This was three fastballs.
Right, and the last one, like Kelly's, 101.
Right.
Yeah, it just... I agree with what Cash said when he says there's no accountability.
But yeah, they play again tonight. I fully expect and will be disappointed if a Yankee doesn't get plunked tonight.
And it's the last time they play this year, unless
yep.
they meet in the playoffs.
Get it out of the way, Kevin Cash. You got five guys who throw 90 miles out an hour, 98 miles an hour, period. Let's see it.
Yeah, and isn't...
By the way, do you think they should retaliate tonight?
No.
You
I don't think you should throw on anybody on purpose ever.
I'm in favor of it.
Here's why. And was it Joe Kelly that did it? The Dodgers had a really good team one year, and Hanley Ramirez was our best hitter. And was it Joe Kelly that hit him in the ribs? Or was it somebody else?
I think it was Joe Kelly who hit him in the ribs. Yeah, it was.
And it broke a rib, and that was it.
Dodgers Although that's a different situation. In that particular scenario, if you go back and look at it, Hanley Ramirez couldn't handle inside fastballs, and that's what Joe Kelly threw. So the intent there, I don't think, was to break Hanley's rib. It was to get an out. That's Hanley's weakness, is inside fastballs. So, yep, one got away and hit him in the ribs, but that wasn't his intent. I don't believe that was Joe Kelly's intent.
But what you're arguing is that the Rays should intentionally hit the
Correct.
Yankees tonight,
yes,
which I would never advocate.
Yeah, one pitch, one hitter, one fastball, one ass. That's exactly what I think I want to see. I
want to see anybody get hit in the ass, the ribs, the head, anywhere.
I don't think – look, ribs, head, not okay. But all day long, hit him in the wallet is the way they used to describe it when I was around minor league baseball. Just hit him in the wallet. And that's what the Rays should do tonight.
Okay, Don Drysdale, but it's a different era. And
I appreciate the comparison to Don Drysdale. Thank you.
Well, no, that was Don Drysdale's thing. He would argue that half of that plate, home plate, was his.
Yes.
And if you crept over his half of the plate, you were getting one in the ribs.
Right, right.
I think times have changed. I don't think you should ever intentionally throw a baseball at anybody.
Let me ask you, if times have changed, why do we have so many discussions about this? Do you really think times have changed?
How many times did Don Drysdale get three-game suspensions for throwing at people?
Have not the slightest clue off the
zero.
Top of my head. Do you know?
Zero, yeah.
He got zero.
Yeah, it was part of the game back then.
But here we are discussing this. This is the second big incident. I think it's dumb to say it's a thing of the past because it's going on right now.
Well,
Joe Kelly did it, or Aroldis Chapman did it. Guys do it.
Right, but if you want it out of the game, you can get it out of the game. I mean, they, for
I
example.
I don't think they, do you think they want it out of the game?
No, and that's the heart of the discussion.
Correct. I do not think they do.
It's like fighting in hockey.
100%.
Like you've covered a bunch of Olympics. There's no fighting in Olympic hockey because if you fight, you get thrown out of the next game.
Correct.
So nobody does it. In baseball, they know how to get rid of something. For example, nobody knocks over the catcher anymore because there's.
Well, they changed the rule.
Right. There's a really stiff penalty if you do it.
Yeah.
If they wanted to end this, they would, you know, they could end it. They don't want to. They don't want
to. Yeah, I agree with it. They don't want to. It's part of the drama of the game. I would not normally be seeking out Yankees Rays on a normal basis, but my MLB pass will drift over to that channel tonight to see if the Tampa Bay Rays do retaliate, and I think they have every reason to do it. And by the way, that starts the whole thing again. Although Kevin Cash won't be there tonight unless he's appealing. Aaron Boone won't be there tonight unless he's appealing.
They can be like Dr. Evil in the back petting a cat, issuing orders.
A hairless cat?
Yeah. They just because they're not there doesn't mean they can't issue the code red.
Hairless cats, really gross. Really gross. All right. So there you have that. I mean, I am old school on this stuff, John. You are don't throw at anybody any
ever.
Ever. And
yeah.
I say there are times and there are places you can hit them. That's
yeah,
it.
It's, you know, like what the stuff Marcus Morris did last week used to happen in the league all the time. When he stepped on, you know, he knew Luka Doncic had a bad ankle. And so he stepped on his ankle.
Yeah, what were the ramifications of that? He got a $35,000 fine, which he's probably got in his pocket right now. There was no real penalty. He didn't lose a game because of that.
Yeah, but
he tried to injure one of the star players in the league.
Yeah, I'm against that.
You're against trying to injure one of the star players in the league?
I'm against trying to injure anybody intentionally. I know it happens. I'm just against it.
Yeah, I mean, it happens in all sports.
Right.
All right, coming up next, by the way, don't forget, everything we're saying right now, something could be on the pop quiz on Friday at 3:15. You got a chance to win a brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 from John Patterson and OC Mazda.
And by the way, you yada yada John's $100 gas card.
I didn't know whose yada yada it was. I just don't know if
That's a good thing, man.
Is it a gas station? Is it a? I just don't want to. It's from John.
That's not nothing.
You're right. No, that's not nothing.
Don't poo-poo that.
$100 is not nothing. That's right. If you win on Friday, you get a $100 gas
and
card.
You get that even if you don't win the car.
And you get a key, and there's only going to be four of these, that could start the brand-new 2021 Mazda CX-30. We're going to actually do that ceremony. We'll call it a ceremony on September the 14th to give away the car. All right, coming up next for you, let me ask you a different sort of question. Do you think that Colin Kaepernick belongs in the Hall of Fame? Think about that, and let's talk about it next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. John, I've got one number for you. 208. 208.
That's the area code in Idaho. Is that what
it's
you're referencing?
It's also my current weight. 208 I'm down to.
I've got a very bad feeling about this.
I'm going to catch Bergman. Bergman was a 203. He's got to get to 190.
Bergman needs to catch you.
I may catch him altogether the way he's going.
Yeah. That fat bastard, he's not even trying.
All right. So here's something really weird, and I didn't know this. A guy named Bob Burkett is from Vermont.
Bob.
He's a retiree from Vermont. He used an obscure rule to nominate Colin Kaepernick for the Hall of Fame, and here is the rule. It says this right in the Pro Football Hall of Fame website. Any fan may nominate any player, coach, or contributor who has been connected with pro football simply by writing to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The only restriction is that a player and coach must have been retired at least 5 years before he can be considered. He nominates Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick is a figure of great significance in the NFL. Do you think he belongs in the Hall of Fame?
When you first brought it up, I thought the easy answer here is no.
That is the easy answer,
His statistics, and you know, to me, if you're going to be in the Hall of Fame, it's you've got to check one of these two boxes. Postseason excellence, like you were in three or four Super Bowls and you were the reason your team was in Super, you know, like Lynn Swann is in the Hall of Fame because he played great in Super Bowls and the Steelers played great in Super Bowls. The other one is your statistical dominance. The fact, like Dan Fouts is in the Hall of Fame because he put up insane numbers. Same thing with Dan Marino. Even though those guys never won championships, their stats are too good. Colin doesn't check either box, so based on my system, he would be out. But let me add this.
All right.
I also think if you or I were to take a trip to the Hall of Fame,
yes,
I have always said the reason you can't leave Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame and the reason you can't leave Barry Bonds out of the Hall of Fame is I think if you go to a Hall of Fame, it should be like taking a history class in your favorite sport or whatever sport it is that you're going to the Hall of Fame about.
Yes.
Could you write a history of the NFL without Colin Kaepernick? I would argue you could not.
Correct.
And for that reason, I think you need to strongly consider him. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, there are people in the Hall of Fame as contributors to the game, whether that's somebody like Bobby Bethard or Ron Wolf or Eddie DeBartolo or Gil Brandt. I mean, they're all part of the game. And influencers of the game and played an important role in the game. But I'm not sure that it's necessarily more important in terms of what Colin Kaepernick has achieved in social justice issues. I'm just not sure. And it what it looks like now is 4 years ago, I think 4 years ago last week, was the first game that Colin Kaepernick actually took a knee. Look where we are now. Almost every athlete in every sport at this point has taken a knee during the national anthem. It's all because of Colin Kaepernick. He has been one of the most socially relevant figures in all of sports, in all of life, in the last 4 years. We often talk about Colin Kaepernick. Even before the George Floyd issue, we would have conversations about Colin Kaepernick. So, yeah, I believe he should be in the Hall of Fame.
And again, if you're going to the Hall of Fame...
That's, by the way, going to piss some people off.
Right. If you go to... And a lot of you know, there's politics behind it. But, like, I would always make an argument for my buddy Paul Salata, who, you know, invented Irrelevant Week.
Right.
You know, he played in the NFL. He was an average player. But could you write the history of the NFL without ever mentioning Mr. Irrelevant? I don't think you could. I think you got to mention the fact that you know, they've turned the last pick in the draft into this gigantic charity fundraising event, and everybody knows what Mr. Irrelevant means. Those are the types of guys you want, you know, in the hall. And I think Kaepernick's impact on the game is indelible. I don't think you can tell the story of the NFL without Kaepernick. Just like I don't think you can tell the story of Major League Baseball without Pete Rose and Barry Bonds. But you say you would not let Bonds into the Hall of Fame, right?
I would not let Bonds into the Hall of Fame, no.
So my argument that you can't tell the story doesn't always hold water with you.
There's Bonds stuff in the Hall of Fame, but being voted in should be for guys who don't cheat.
Well, why couldn't we do that with Kaepernick? Why couldn't we have like a Kaepernick story in the Hall of Fame but not put him in? It wouldn't be
because,
the same. I think he gave up his whole career.
Yeah, he sacrificed
his
whole career.
And by the way, you talk about the most unlikely of comebacks. He's not getting a job in the NFL. It's obvious he's been blackballed.
And I'm not sure that he wants one, to be honest with you.
And so he gave up his career. You're like, did you have a chance to watch Hard Knocks last night?
I didn't. I always watch it the night after.
Okay, so on Hard Knocks last night, it was really well done. It dealt with the Jacob Blake shooting and everything that happened and how that affects an NFL team. You know, the Rams and the Chargers, who are the featured teams on Hard Knocks this year, are predominantly black. And there's a couple of really cool things. I should probably use a different description. Because there's nothing cool about watching someone get shot. But there were some things that were, I'm glad we got a chance to see. Let me put it that way. Artis Twyman, who is the guy we go through when we need to get
great
Rams.
Guy. Great guy.
He is their communications director, walks into Sean McVay's office. And Hard Knocks has a permanent fixed camera on McVay's office 24 hours a day. So if anything happens in McVay's office or in Anthony Lynn's office, they get it. Hard Knocks gets that, and they decide whether or not to use it. So it was Artis who walked into McVay's office and said, "Have you seen this tape?" And McVay said, "No, what are you talking about?" And so you see McVay's reaction the first time he sees the tape of Blake getting shot 7 times in the back.
Right.
And McVay, it's hard to describe. You should watch it. It's anger, disbelief, and just, he's stunned. McVay, he can't believe what he's watching. He just keeps saying, "No effing way." And Artis goes, "Yeah, his kids were in the car."
Yep.
And McVay goes, "No, there's no effing way." And he watches it again and he goes, "You're kidding me, right? This isn't real. This is like some Hollywood thing, right?"
Right, right.
And Twyman goes, "I swear to you, it's not." And he goes, "All our players are talking about it." And then one of the assistants walks in and says, "Sean, I know how committed you are to practicing and getting better every day, but I think we should consider canceling practice."
Hmm.
And McVay said, "I'm already there. I completely agree with you." And Anthony Lynn shuts down the whole Chargers locker room.
Right.
And basically they Hard Knocks didn't have a chance to get their cameras rolling, so you hear it and you see like ground level footage.
Right.
And Lynn basically says, there's a shadow over this locker room right now, and we're not going out on the field until we address it.
Hmm.
And some of the older black coaches stand up and start talking about how the players need to use their platform to deal with this. Some of these guys that are 60, 70 years old said, I've seen a lot of stuff in my life. I'm from the South. But this tape, this thing,
yeah,
is something you guys cannot stand idly by and do nothing about. And Anthony Lynn said, I think every one of you should go out on the field and do media. Huh. And we should take every interview request we get. We should go on the NFL Network. We should go on the radio. We should go on TV. And we should tell people that this is unacceptable and we're not going to put up with this crap. And you see the Hard Knocks cameras follow them around. And Anthony Lynn cancels practice. And all of his best players start putting on headsets and doing interviews with NFL Network and local TV stations and radio stations. And of all the Hard Knocks I've seen so far, Lindsay, did you watch it? Did you watch Hard Knocks last night?
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay, of all the
actually, after this conversation, I don't think we need to watch it. You've laid it all out for it.
Well, it's worth seeing.
It's a huge spoiler alert.
Here's
everything that happened last night.
No, but it is really good. I saw it last night.
Is it really good?
Yeah.
Okay,
I can't really do it justice. You have to see McVay's reaction to feel the visceral nature of how outraged he is.
You know, I want to say something surprising. So, I'm a Rams fan. Love the Rams. I've always hated the Chargers
when we were on the Chargers station.
Right, except when we were on the Chargers station, and that's what they paid me to do. But I'm not a Charger fan. I don't believe they belong in L.A. They should have stayed in San Diego, all that stuff. But watching Hard Knocks, it's really hard not to like and respect Anthony Lynn.
By the way,
he just comes across like a phenomenal guy.
I'm glad you brought this up. There is no crosstalk with Sedano and LZ today because they're having Anthony Lynn on their show right at 4:00. So if you want to hear Anthony Lynn, and I'm sure George and LZ will bring up some of this stuff that was on Hard Knocks last night. And he's lived a lot of life. I mean, I've told the stories before. He was almost killed. He was hit by a car going 40 miles an hour in Oxnard and almost died. Mm. And the first responders saved his life. And, you know, he won a couple Super Bowls with the Broncos as a fullback. And he is impossible not to root for. You're 100% right. Really good dude.
And by the way, that's coming up at 4:00, so make sure you're here for that with George and LZ. All right, coming up next for you, The Scoop, all the sports stuff that we haven't talked about yet. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.